I get honey, but they, I let them. Mara,
just in check,
yeah. No, but the but on a lady phone is a bona, on a lady email, on a lady phone is a bona, so send an SMS after Uber or the email.
Well, thank you very much, honorable members. We must start again. Unfortunately, we had a cool ring break and now the tea is arriving, so let's continue. Help yourself. Honorable Sheikh, you've indicated that you want to ask a specific follow-up. Thank you,
Chair. On our oversight, we found that there was a serious challenge in terms of Niyala. It's easy to procure them and get them. But once you've got them and they start troubling you, they were playing and staying on garages for over 12 months at a time. And there was a problem, we found that you couldn't, and one of the reasons that were given were that they could not get parts for them and whatever it is. Now, have you resolved that matter? Because, you know, we can't be buying them, and at the same time, they are going and sitting at garages for long periods of time. And what have you identified as the challenges that, you know, that they can't secure, that they're still sitting there for 12 months at a time? So, in a nutshell, I want to know, have you resolve that matter now where we are able to get parts timeously and so that they don't have to sit in garages for long periods of time? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Malakasin, then Honorable Mula. Thank you.
I asked how many Nalas are in the garage and for how long are they in the garage.
Thank you very much. Let's deal with those. General Guma, General Guna.
Can you respond?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. With the Nyala, the new generation one, I'll start with the first question. We haven't experienced any problem with the issue of the park. What has happened, Honorable Chair, is that when we received them, there was a slow pace on marking and registration. And our concern was, if we keep them and the warranty is over, we'll have a problem on that. Because if they are standing, they are not moving, and we start moving with them and the warranty is over, then we'll have a problem. But up to so far, none of them are in the garage, the new one, except the old one that we are having a problem because of the aging as well. As the honorable member is asking now, how many are in the garage and all that. That's the part that are giving us a lot of problems. But the new one, we haven't experienced any problem with. Actually distributed them. They are in the provinces. We haven't had anything coming back as a problem to say this is the problem, except that we were having a problem with marking as well as registration, which is now done. Going to the second question, how many sitting in the garage? I will have a problem to give a clear number now on our chair, because we have given ourselves a target that at least 200 and something Nyalas must be operational every time so that we can cover the country easily if there are problems on there. But I can find out the answer if that is necessary.
Thank you for that.
Thank you for that response, but I'm not satisfied. Surely the new ones can't be in the garage at the moment. That is an accepted fact. The question that I'm asking is this. Given the fact that we've been experiencing great difficulties with the Nyalas, particularly when they break down and they lie in garages for a long period of time, and one of the reasons were that they can't procure parts and things, have we resolved that matter with these manufacturers that parts must be readily available? And that, remember, there was, from what we understood, there was only one service provider that was dealing with all the Nyalas countrywide. Have you resolved that issue, or are you intending to resolve that so that we don't have, you know, a repeat of that, where these ones that some states are going to break, are they then going to go and sit in the garages for a long period of time? So I'm trying to ensure that it does not happen. Thank you.
Well, what's it, you're the last on that one. I want to move on after we've got still a lot of other questions that we needed responses of. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Chair. I misunderstood your question. We are having 15 million that covers the servicing of the Nyalas. And the Nyalas are sitting under operational support, not under the office public order policy. However, they are utilized by public order policy. So the office is the one that works with a company called Qatar. It's the one that works on that, that looked those issues to make sure that we don't have this problem that Nyalas are going in and they go out, again they experience the same problem. Chair, we have definitely experienced this issue with the old Nyalas because others are more than 15 years old, that when they come out as quick as possible, they are having a problem. But I believe with as we move on now, facing slowly and slowly, we'll be able maybe to deal with the situation. But we have 15 million assigned to that, and servicing of that is taking place continuously, making sure that we have 200 every time that is serviceable, that can be utilized in the country. Thank you, Chief.
Yes, Chairperson, you see, General Mkhwanazi made mention of apparatus and equipment that are being distributed. My worry on this distribution is, do you have a way of tracking this distribution, that are they being utilized? You see, I'll tell you why I'm saying so. You can have so many things being distributed and piling up somewhere, gathering dust, if they are not being followed up. And you'll be living under the auspices that so much has been distributed. What if the real job is not being done with those equipment or apparatus? Do you have a way of tracking them to make sure that they are being utilized? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. What we are doing immediately after we have distributed those equipment to different units. From the office where actually I'm a component in, we have members going through to all those units to do monitoring and evaluation of that, not only including Nyalas or whatever, everything, whether is it utilized. Are we having problem maybe to say somebody who must use the camera can't operate that camera, and look at it as well to say, should we organize in-service training or should you organize training? We are following it up in that way. Every time when they come back, they provide the report on that, then we'll have a way forward to say how do we rectify that problem as quick as possible. Thank you. General Puma, we can go to the others. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. The next person, the next question is with regard to training as well as the shortage in terms of the vacancies, which General Mwenya said she will take on. And then we also have how are we rectifying the under expenditure, which is also two questions General Nelson will take on. General Mwenya, please.
Thank you, General. Thank you, Honorable Chair and members. Prior to responding to your question, I just want to add to the issue of crowd management training. The figures that General Mkhwanazi have given exclude the number of members will recall. We are on record having said that our current basic training includes crowd management training, which takes 3 weeks. Effective from 2016, all those members who underwent basic training will have done the crowd management course, including the 3,800 and few numbers that are currently at the college. They will be subjected to the 3 weeks course of crowd management. All in all, I think we have now about 6,000 members who would have underwent basic training and subjected to the 3 week course. The issue of standardization of the CRT training, firstly, I can confirm that there has been a directive that there is a need for us to upgrade our basic training to CRT level. It is also important that I share that initially the TRT training was intended for specific police officials to deal with the middle density threats, and as a result of that, there were only few trainers who were trained to do the training. But after the directive that was received from both the minister and the national commissioner, we have since started to analyze one, the level the level of training itself of the those technical trainers. Two, also to review the curricula that will be talking to the training which will be given at basic level. And these tactical trainers trainers that will be focusing on firearm training, vehicle first training, house penetration, and etc. And then we will be coming up with an implementation plan which we believe it will be effective in the next financial year, where we'll have upgraded our basic training to TRT level. Here, in terms of the members that are already there that are attached to the visible policing environment, we do have a course that is continuously going on, which was previously called Street Survival and is currently called Tactical Training Level 2. They get subjected to that course to ensure that they are continuously fit. In terms of the issue that was raised, where there seem to be no standards in other provinces, the lack of command and control, we will have to deal with a specific provinces where that would have been picked up, because evidently from what we have, the chair would have seen in KwaZulu-Natal, there are standards that have to be complied with. So we'll have to deal with a specific provinces where we would have picked up the challenges. In terms of the vacancies, chair, as at the end of the first quarter, our vacancy rate was below 2%, which is in line with the target in terms of our APP. We have developed a staffing plan from the human resource management, which has been approved, and there are funds made available for it. What will be happening in this financial year, we will be recruiting 3,500 trainees, and then there will be 600 Public Service Act employees. There will be 200 forensic analysts, and then additional to that, Chair, we have already committed to promoting about 28,000. That is great progression. Your sergeant to warrant, your constable to sergeant, and sergeant to warrant officer, they will be promoted in this financial year. We will also be regrading the lower levels in terms of the Public Service Act, your level 1, 2, 3, they will be regraded in this financial year. Also, post-promotions, we'll be promoting 3,200 members in this financial year. The issue that has been raised in terms of capacity at the police station, the rationalization process, which we have since consulted at the SSSBC, and we were able to get a buy-in from organized labor, will assist us towards ensuring that members that are migrated from both the national headquarters and the provincial headquarters are redeployed to station level to ensure we deal with this, the current challenges that we are having. We also looking at the possibility of having a re-enlistment process, because we believe with the re-enlistment process at a lower level, we will be able to get people who are already having skills to can assist us as compared to those who will be still be subjected to basic training, which is a process that takes a bit longer. We have recruited reservists last year, 2,600. Some of them are already utilized, and some of them are still undergoing training to ensure that they serve as a force multiplier. Yes, we are aware of the challenges that we are having. In particular, in terms of the personnel plan, when we looked at our challenges are mainly in Gauteng and the Western Cape.
So we are going to be prioritizing those provinces, especially at the hotspot areas. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Maybe just a short follow-up. Last week, the Minister of Police and Interior in our interaction with the Portfolio Committee, there's 300 plus members who wants to leave, and he said, no, you know, we need that experience in the organization. Your retention strategy, is it working? Because, I mean, the big dilemma is at station level as well. It's a very junior level. Your people must give leadership and guidance. They are filling out if you go to stations now. What is your retention strategy in short? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think it's a yes or no in terms of whether the retention strategy is working. It is effective as well that when people reach the age of 55, most of them will feel tired. Those that have applied for early retirement are those that are above the age of 55. And when you look at their reasons, most of them will be saying, I am tired, my health condition, etc., etc. But when you look at the benefits that we are currently providing within the South African Police Service as compared to other organizations, we are better off, and we are continuously improving. Amongst other things which we intend adding to the current benefits which contribute towards the retention strategy is that having realized that we have challenges in terms of promoting big numbers, for example, at warrant officer level, while we'll be taking care of sergeant, constable to sergeant, and sergeant warrant officer, we still have a backlog of 20,000, about 20,000 there. And when you move to higher levels, you can only be promoted if there is a post available. So that is some of the challenges. And amongst other things, we're looking at introducing another remunerative model which will ensure that even when people do not get promoted, they are able to get money. We have already done some work through the assistance of the PwC. Where we are in terms of that process, we need to present before the management forum for adoption and approval. But also, it will be dealt with in line with the availability of our financial resources. Again, I want to emphasize to say, when we look at our whatever we are doing within the organization, taking care of our members in terms of our bursaries, our medical aid, etc., the list goes on, which I can forward if need be, Honorable Chair. We believe the SAPS is one of the good employers. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm going to request General Nelson to respond to the question of under expenditure and what plan are we doing in terms of speeding up or increasing in terms of the facility environment, as well as the question with regard to the value for the money. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, members. I'm going to address a few aspects emanating from this particular question. The first important aspect is to note that currently we are on a modified cash basis of accounting and the reporting requirements in accordance with that. So when one looks at spending during the third quarter in terms of the level of commitment incurred as at the end of the previous financial year, there needs to be a balance in terms of also covering those commitments going into a new financial year and not to overcommit the department. Why I'm saying that is that when you enter a new financial year, you've got different sets of contracts, specific purpose contract, term contracts, and then your normal recurring commitment. So in terms of that, when you start your new financial year, obviously the normal recurring commitment and the level of spending, you will not encounter any difficulties with regards to that. But then you enter into a specific contract for specific purposes in terms of which realization will then take place towards the last part of the financial year. So the with regards to the facilities environment, the question being asked in terms of that, we've seen that at the end of June, for instance, for the devolved accommodation charges, the actual expenditure was about 24%, and end of July, spending has improved to almost 47% in that environment. With regards to the leases particularly, we've only received two invoices from Public Works for the leases. It's 89 million and 155 million rand invoice from Public Works in this regard. Now, what they've also done is towards the end of the financial year, they perform a reconciliation in terms of occupancy of facilities, and therefore one finds the tendency. So the invoices from Public Works are awaited. In terms of the municipal services, end of June was 24.3%, which on track, and as I've indicated on the accommodation charges, the spending has picked up to almost 47%. So in that regard, that covers the rationale for that. In terms of the capital works now, this particular one, what we see towards the end of the previous financial year, Public Works push their invoices also in order to ensure that their level of accruals and commitments that roll over to subsequent financial year in terms of their reporting requirements are also limited. And in the near financial year, then we see a slow trend in terms of invoices forthcoming. So, but what we've done also from the facilities environment, interventions and engagements with Public Works have taken place in order to redirect the building program towards those that can generate them in terms of other priority spending going forward in the financial year. But it's a challenge that's been raised in the cluster as a particular problem, and also the minister has also noted this as well as our deputy minister in terms of supporting us going forward in terms of addressing this particular issue. With regard to the vehicles, one should just also remember that during the previous financial year and towards the last part of the year, 5,800 vehicles were delivered out and distributed all over the country. At this point in time, already 3,447 new vehicle orders have been placed and are in the process of delivery. Currently, already 17% of these vehicles were delivered, and there is a contract in place from National Treasury, a transversal contract that allows them for the procurement of these vehicles. The other aspect being referred to in terms of understanding is the IJS, CJS, particularly the CJS environment. And in this regard, the National Treasury wrote the department a letter where they indicated that business plans should be submitted for the utilization of the funding. And in this particular regard, they imposed a condition too on the department, and with your permission, Chairperson, I will just read that. It says, condition two, the department's proposal to shift funding for consumables to the baseline must also be endorsed by the JCPS and Cabinet before submission to the National Treasury. This is important as the implication of such a decision is that the funding which was initially intended to be shifted to the rest of the departments in the criminal justice system, once that has concluded the modernization of its system, will no longer be available for shifting. Now, with regards to this, the department submitted the plans to Treasury, and they've raised this issue. Now, the department's argument is, on an annual basis for quite a number of years, plus minus 2 billion rands being invested in the CJS modernization. Now, everything cannot be new projects. There's a recurring element that should be moved from this allocation specifically to the baseline in order to service your commitment. Massive technology in the forensics environment, your consumables, in the service level agreements, in the TMS environment. The previous accounting officer also noted and submitted to National Treasury this particular request. Now the expectation from National Treasury that this whole bunch of money can now move to the other department of the cluster is, with all due respect, not realistic in terms of accommodating the recurring commitment from our side. So we have embarked on the process. We have convened a team that consolidates now these inputs, and we will be compiling a cabinet memorandum that will then allow for the ministers in the cluster then to acknowledge this fact and then also in agreement with it that we can resolve this issue. So therefore, chairperson, spending, the other recurring commitment to a certain extent is taking place, but we have those challenges and we hope and trust we'll be able to resolve these soon. To respond also then to the value for money issue, you will note, chairperson, when the National Commissioner presented the annual performance plan, he made reference also of some integrated resource management strategy. Now, with the department's latest strategic management session, this was again being formalized, where a formula to consider the TAF resource management strategy and the resource matrix will now be developed. Now, the elements of this will now allow where the department can then link resources to the requirements of policing and a resource matrix that will allow for synergy between within the integrated resource management strategy. Now, in this regard, this will inter-area then also address the activities performed by the National Crime Combating Strategy, physical resource allocation and distribution, the costing of these unfunded mandates, looking at the appropriation framework and the allocation of resources. So with that resource matrix, we're going to link the operational requirements with the budget allocation, and then one can track specific value for money in terms of the inputs and the outputs in achieving value for money. So these are being developed currently. The elements of the strategy is in an advanced stage at this stage. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. The issue with regards to the contract on my part of General Mathia, the issue with regards to the progress on the safety at home station General Nyalungu, issue with regards to the rock covers, as well as the General Arons will handle that. The issue of the missing children and kidnapping General Mutikiki will handle that. With regards to public works challenges, I just want to applaud and appreciate what our Deputy Minister mentioned in terms of the challenges that we are experiencing with public works. And also maybe in addition to say that there is nothing that staff have not done under the sun to make sure that we really get a response from public works. We have engaged public works in person in letters. We have letters that were signed by our previous minister as well as the current minister where we are requesting them to intervene. We also wrote letters in terms of requesting them to devolve the functions to us so that we are able to do them for ourselves, but there's no response. And I'm happy in the previous meeting that we interacted with the committee. The committee assured us that at present stage they will call us together with public works so that you also intervene in assisting us with regard to the issues of public works. Let's respond politically in that sense. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Good morning to our Deputy Minister. With Microsoft, we have a 3-year contract that we signed with them that started last year and it will end 2019. The contract is active and up to so far we have paid 270,738,501. This is the spending up to the 30th of August. Thank you, Chair.
I'll allow another
to follow up, Chairperson, the question that I want to ask generally about the issue of CMS. I hear that the General Chief is in the office, she's there, and General Mathia is acting, she's there. What is happening? And let me finish off. And the other thing, the issue of General Pashani. What is happening? Because now General Pashani is like his rule. He is sitting at home, getting salary from staff, where he is doing nothing, and there's no disciplinary, there's nothing, the court withdraws charges. So, what is happening?
Thank you,
what is happening generally there? Because the Department of Disciplinary is HRM. Thank you.
Let's get that response and then we'll go through the other responses. Thank you, Mwenya.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. General Shelby is not back at work. Yes, indeed, I also got information that she did go to the office last week. I think there was a misunderstanding between the chairperson of the hearing and herself, and that has since been rectified. The acting national commissioner at the time did engage her to say you are not supposed to be at work. I must also indicate that in terms of the discipline regulations, her suspension is still within the 90 days. And on Friday, we will be having a meeting between General Vuma and my environment. She is responsible, amongst others, for legal services. We will be looking in this into this particular case and also to give direction. I must also say it's one of those cases where we have appointed external functionaries to deal with the case. And in such situations, at times you struggle to get things moving at your own pace. At the same time, it is a fact that even the member that is subjected to a disciplinary hearing will do whatever to ensure that either there are delays, because it's this is very much important to the member's career. Having said that, I must say we commit towards ensuring that there is finalization of the case. In terms of the Pasani case, I will request our legal services, because they were directly involved. They will know precisely where we are in terms of the case. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Maybe while we're on disciplinary matters, also the matter of the CFO, where are we? You know, that can just get an indication. Thank you. Because there was a commitment previously that disciplinary cases will now get priority, will move, we won't have 6 year, 4 year, 2 year, and 9 month delays, it will be dealt with, you know, in a fast way. So let's get that response. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Deputy Minister, Honorable Members. On the issue of the disciplinary inquiry against General Pashlane, General Pashlane appeared at his inquiry. The inquiry resumed sometime in early August, and I think even before that. But at the last hearing, General Pashlane raised certain points in limine, preliminary issues. I want to say his legal representatives on his behalf. The presiding officer made a ruling on those issues that were raised that were not in favor of General Pashlane's case. And therefore he decided to take the decision of the presiding officer on review. We are now in the North Gauteng High Court. A date has not been set, but that is where we are as far as the matter is concerned. So the disciplinary inquiry has been postponed Senator, until the outcome of the review application. Thank you.
Maybe on, may I also report on the CFO? We are still under the same issue. Our CFO has appeared twice in the disciplinary hearing, and the hearing also was postponed on his request because he felt that he needed to obtain certain documentation for him to be able to prepare for the final trial, which is going to take place this month. For the employer is ready to proceed with the case. I'm sure before the end of this month, the hearing will be finalized. Thank you.
The information,
let's go to the other responses. Thank you, General. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members of the Committee. With regard to police safety, we have started taking an approach of requiring technology systems, that we would want to see the technology systems at all police stations in relation to the CCTV cameras, which then we have assigned members in the office to continue to monitor at sessions, especially those ones that are in the far end of the how can I put it? Of the community, where you find that the session is just alone in the field without proper fencing, and we then also, when we visit the stations, we also make sure that we inspect the fence, because you find that in most cases where there is animals like cows, they will just go through the fence, and the fence are not of good quality. So we are improving on that one, on the fences. And then coming back to the CCTV cameras, we have made sure that in every station, in each and every side of the fence, there should be CCTV cameras that should be taking care of the light of the security in the fence. The other aspect is the issue of bulletproofs, that when we visit the stations, most of the members find them not wearing the bulletproof vest. And in most time, they will tell you that it is very heavy, and some of the bulletproofs, the size does not fit, so they just put it aside, not wearing it, and when there is danger, they can't prevent themselves from being killed. The other aspect that we are talking to with TMS is the issue of body cameras. The body cameras that members should be wearing, especially when they are attending operations, so that if there is any incident, it can be recorded and captured, so that we can at any time download the data from the camera, so that we can always view it to see what was happening and how, if there is any fatalities, we can see how it happened to have those fatalities. In short, that is the principles which we have taken and the approach that we want to take in collaboration with TMS in these issues.
If you allow me, Chairperson, to add, the other approach maybe which the general might not have be privy to the information, because it was handled by the Divisional Commissioner himself, General Jasper, who was also on official duty, not here today. We prioritized the all the police stations who doesn't have fences, who doesn't have gates, both for the passengers as well as the gates for the cars. We prioritize the guard houses. We also have prioritized the lighting for this current financial year. So there are numbers that have been submitted to us as supply chain management for us to be able to look at the budget in terms of procuring those basic, very basic requirements within this current financial year. In as far as the CCTV cameras are concerned, we agreed based on the financial constraints, of course, that we prioritize three stations per province in a first-in approach in terms of ensuring that we introduce those processes of CCTV cameras and others. That is just in addition. That information is currently with us. It is receiving attention. Thank you, Chair.
Well, I'm afraid both of these responses is below power. Now, if I recall the previous responses and briefings we received at the committee, where there was indication there's priority facilities that will get CCTV cameras. We want to know now, what is the status? How many units and stations is currently, because it's got that facilities, because we got the presentation at portfolio committee level indicating that it will only happen in the outer financial year, the installation process. I mean, can we get around this table indication how many stations in South Africa has got CCTV cameras today? I'm really not happy with the responses. Honorable Mula?
Yes, Chairperson. The response General Omar is expecting, because you don't have timeline. And you are saying every time when you are coming here, you said you are prioritizing, and you don't tell us about the time frame, when are you going to do that? And I'm surprised that the general tell us that when they go to the station, the fund members not wearing the proof, but you don't do nothing about them. And they are going to tell you that their bullet proofs are small or big or what. But when you are issuing those bullet proofs, they don't know their size. And this financial thing that you are telling us today, that you don't have finances or what, it is wrong, General. Because now when you go to our police station, there's no security there. That is why all the people are getting in and out, shooting police everywhere. That's the main thing that the main thing that you must prioritize is this thing of security. CCTVs, these bullet proofs, and this gate. Because no. If you are going to tell me, and next year you are going to tell us again, we are prioritizing. Whereas there are members that are getting killed every day. Can you please give us something that is tangible? That we have said with the accounting officer, we have decided this and this. We are going to do this in Mpumalanga. We are going to, next week or next month, we are going to put security fences. Because I don't think security fences are too expensive, or 10 million or what. No. Thank you, Chairperson.
My problem is the one general's response regarding the body cams. I mean, in the previous engagement, there was the whole question of the legal opinion, the changing of the legislation of what has happened. I mean, the management can't come here unprepared. If you come to the Portfolio Committee on Police, you must prepare. We know what's going on. I mean, it is not acceptable. So we need now a breakdown. What's happening in the country? This new three police stations per province is a new story. We haven't heard it before. So really, let's get now the facts. I mean, this is a priority for the committee. There's recommendations from the House. And it really doesn't instill confidence. Honorable Mabisha.
Thank you, Chairperson. I might sound negative, I don't know, but I must say it out. Please, today, let's turn the gear, Chairperson. Tell us precisely what is wrong with them. Because since 2014, when I was in this committee, nothing is going on right. The situation is deteriorating. Like she's been saying, every meeting is prioritizing blah, 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 blah. Where are your muscles to implement? What is this that is stopping you from doing what we expect you as a committee and parliament to be doing? Because every year in, year out, there is budget that goes out to that for you to implement the way you are supposed to. Tell us today, is it because maybe amongst yourselves there are some elements of sabotage of SAP, or maybe amongst yourselves you are implicated with a lot of wrongdoing, corruption, whatnot and whatnot, so much that you cannot even be able to implement or to correct what is wrong, because you are also implicated. During tea time, I was talking to her, the lady who's leading today's delegation, said, tell me, something is wrong here. you are so slow in doing, in implementing as expected. Is it because maybe you cannot investigate yourself, you cannot, because you are racist, you cannot say you are racist and so on, because you collude with your subordinates to do 1, 2, 3, that which is wrong? And that is why you are not moving. So tell us today precisely. We cannot waste government money giving you budget that is not used effectively so. Because that is precisely what we want when you give you money to work. Today, for instance, I will point at him. I'm sorry to point at him. The response he gave us is like, it's a new person you have chosen for him to give to answer the question. He's just a family. He's not written. And that is the stuff you want us to take. That is the response you want us to take. I should think there's something wrong. There's a discord somewhere. And you need to tell us so that we at least can assist you. Because come 2019 May, we'll be moving out. Another release will be coming in as a committee, police committee. And you'll be doing the same, like you've been doing what you are doing now during the fourth parliament. Zia was here, the style was the same. Fashanu was here, the style was the same. Now we are fitted here, the story is the same. Implementation, Dololo, they are not happy really. We are wasting time, money, and people are dying. Even one of your own are dying. And you might find that they are dying, and some of you are also implicated in the cash in transit, drug lordship, all those things. Because maybe one out of all of you here is innocent. All of you, somehow or either, you are implicated in corruption and what, in all those things. That is why you are not moving. If you are dirty, come out so that you get clean. We want to see stuff moving because people on the ground are dying. One of your own are dying. Everybody is. South Africa is in a mess because of the quality that you are giving to us. It's not even quality. I don't know what it is. Let me pause here. But really, you get the gist of my input. We are worried. I'm not the only one. Nandim Changan and their Porsche. That's why I'm telling you that. Stop playing hypocrisy. Start working to save the masses of South Africa. If you are tired, resign. Some other people will come in. Don't just stay with a bag of wrongdoing, carrying a bag, heavy load. You can't even work. You say, maybe it's me tomorrow. Maybe it's, you see? No. Do something. Chairperson, we don't want to come back to sit in a meeting like this one. Would rather we do without them coming here. If they are not changing their modus operandi, if they are protecting one another, because subs will end up a mafia sub because of protecting one another. That is why you are not moving. Move. Clean yourself and move. Finito.
Salamula, you indicated your hand, yes.
Yes, Chairperson, Honorable Mabita has covered me. But what I want to say, we need to stop the infighting because now it seems as if we are running after each other and you are not doing your work. We need to please do your work and implement because we can't every time we are talking about this CCTV, fencing and what. No. Because all these things that police are killed, they are killed by you. Because you are not implementing.
You come here to the committee and we tell you what you must do, but you don't do that. Each and every time you are telling us that you are prioritizing, it's a pity because the accounting officer is not here so that he can hear for himself. Because your response is, I don't know what happens, because when you come to us, we are reading these presentations of yours. Mm. We can't sleep at night. We are reading it and we check if there are loopholes or what. But Nina, you are thinking that you are not reading. We just ask questions. Please, General Zuma, I'm asking, stop the infighting. Stop, like, I don't know, running after people in your department. Because these people, you don't like him or her, you run after her or you are doing what, that's when you are not going to implement what you want. Mm. Will you please stop that? Go back and see all your mistakes. Because we can't prioritize. Until December, you are prioritizing. Next year, our term is ending. Still prioritizing. There's nothing that is happening. We were expecting, when I asked this question, I was expecting you to tell me that 5 stations we have put the CCTV, 5 stations we have put the fencing, the security doors and everything. Because other police stations are disasters. When you go inside, they are disasters. And when you ask the station command, he will tell you about the national office. That is why I was saying last time, please don't sit on those round tables in your office. Go back, go down to the station and see what is happening. I'm still begging you. Stop the infighting. Because you are fighting each other. I don't know what you are fighting for, position or what. I don't know. Please implement what the committee has asked you to implement. You are not going to tell us we are still prioritizing. CCTVs, fencing. Just imagine fencing. There are police stations that are not have fencing. But you can't implement that. I don't know if fencing needs 50 million or 100 million or it needs all your budget. I don't know. Will you please do your work? Please do your work and stop running to each other. You are running to each other after each other, because if I don't like you, I'm going to write a disciplinary hearing for you. But what you are supposed to do, you are not doing. Just imagine bulletproof. Yeah, at the station level, when you went to do an oversight, they are not wearing a bulletproof. They will tell you it is small, it is big, it is heavy. For how long are we going to talk about bulletproof? Because if the thieves are entering the station, they are not wearing, they are going to shoot them and kill them. But we have the national office. We have a supply chain, General Mkwen. What are you doing with this money of SARS? What are you doing if the members on the ground are crying? But you are running after each other, disciplining each other. You said you are stealing, and you too, you are stealing. Yeah, but you know who are people who are corrupt, and you are corrupt also. But you are talking about the corrupt people. No. We are not going to allow this. This is the last time today. This is the last time. This priority thing, you must tell us, I don't know, next time if you are coming back or if you are not coming back. Please. I'm so sorry because the accounting officer is not here, but he must come so that we can tell him. Don't do that. Running after people that are corrupt, whereas you are also corrupt. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, what I would like to know is what action has been taken in terms of what the committee asked, which was, and there was a big presentation on security, but it was made very clear to us that it's all about public works. And the fear from the National Police Commissioner, I think, said at the time, we will go to public works and they will say, yeah, well, we don't consider it to be that important, come back in 3 years' time. So what I think from this side is, could you tell me what applications have been made to Public Works to upgrade fencing at X number of stations, to upgrade security at X number of stations, all the issues that we went through in that security presentation? Because I don't know that we're not actually shouting at the wrong people. If they've done nothing, fair enough, shout away. A bit dodgy calling them criminals, but I think I'd like to hear what the response has been from Public Works to your requests, because I have to know that you've made requests to them to do the work that actually they're paid to do. They're service providers who provide very little as far as we've seen, but let's just hear what applications have been made. Thank you.
I think the need that we, the information we want now is a breakdown of the situation in the country. I mean, the minister indicated that Nkobo has been prioritized as CCTV cameras. There is budget available on the baseline of the provinces. But this story of a three per province, and it doesn't add up what was put before this committee previously. And this is the national management of the South African police. You should know that information. What is the situation per station, per unit? And what is the rollout? That's what we want to know. That is straightforward.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. We've noted all the contents that have been said by the Honorable Members. And I must say that there is a concrete plan that is under implementation with specific numbers in terms of where are we lacking in terms of the gates that we had mentioned, the fencing, the lights, the gas houses. And of course, as we also said that part of this as a result of dependencies from Public Works, we can be able to provide that information if we are given an opportunity. General Mkwene will add also in terms of the whole plan in terms of moving forward, but we have a concrete plan that is under implementation. Maybe it's the English that we are talking that is not so clear from us. The program is under implementation. We have some of the issues that are dependent on Public Works. We have some of the issues that are dependent on us, which we are moving with them. General Mkwene, can you add?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, our Deputy National Minister. Maybe let me start with the bullet resistance. It is true, our members, and
can we start with the stations?
Oh,
let's do it now as the member posed the question. The issue of the CCTV cameras, let's get a breakdown of the country. What is the situation per province, per unit? What is the current situation today? What is the rollout for the rest of the year, so let's deal with that.
Yeah, Honorable Chair, if you may allow me, maybe what actually hinders the progress, if you can allow me maybe to say something, what retards the progress? And not that a national office is not doing anything.
You in command of that specific portfolio. I expect that you will have the heightened knowledge when you come to Parliament to give us the breakdown. Can you do that?
Visible police is a TM maybe, because they are the people who are responsible for that, if they were to respond. Can you respond? Visible police. What are the police?
Can I provide the statistics in terms of the numbers that we have, which obviously were compiled together with from visible police? In terms of the number of police stations without the perimeter fencing in the whole country, we have 182. The number of police stations without the light is 266 in the whole country. I have the breakdown per province. In terms of the number of police stations without lockable gates for vehicles as well as for pedestrians, for the vehicles we have 355 and the pedestrians we have 431. And then with regards to the number of police stations without secured entrances to the buildings, in total it's 605. Police stations without secured entrances at the community service center is 674.
the police station.
Can you just repeat that question?
The number of police stations without secured entrances to the community service center, secured, is 675.
Is that dependent on public works? No.
Some of the stations are given, some are not. Then we also have the number of police stations without guard houses is 782 in total. We have the number of police stations with four or less members in terms of the personnel per shift is 532. This is the plan that I'm saying, that we have a concrete plan, and we also have some time frame in terms of how are we going to address that in moving forward. I don't know if you want me to go through the details.
We received that briefing last time, that the material things, since that briefing, what was implemented? And that, I mean, it seems nobody around the table knows that. Yes, Deputy Minister, will you come to the rescue?
Chairperson, I want to make a special request here. Because when we were debating this matter earlier, I was thinking in my mind, I think we need to go the whole game mile again. Because after October, when you come to Parliament, you're going to have a lot of talks, and then you're closing in December, we'll come next year. And we don't know when is the program of Parliament going to be changed again. I'm thinking, because these numbers are here, and the Honorable Kola Patna says this meeting now, that we had the security risk report that was coming from the police, but what she wants you to tell her is what have we done since then. So we don't have those answers, and it must not go up and down. We must make a special request to honorable members that within the program where we're going to be dealing with the question of the lifestyle audit, you add this also as a matter that we come and present with how far have we gone since we reported to you that particular matter. It's a special request to the Chairperson.
I think let's get the other responses, but then we're not going to go forward with the other items, because really we need those issues to be solved. Yes.
In some of the parliaments and committees, we don't play. If we are seeing that we're being played, I mean, you better return these people to go to the head office, because they've got nothing to do with this meeting. If that is the case, because I understand the pain of being played by officials. You understand? Because these members, what I know, they have constituencies. These questions are asked on the ground by the people. And they must have information as leaders of society. So I'm making that special request that let's try to have that meeting that day and seek these answers. And then you can have a recourse as Parliament, by the way, if we are not performing on your request.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Let's go to the other responses.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. And I must say that we will be able to compile a proper report in terms of what has been done, and we'll be able to provide which ones are devolved, dependent on public works, which ones are within our authority for us to be able to do, and we'll also indicate what is it that has been done so far in writing, if it is acceptable within the community. Thank you very much. The next question, the one with is with regard to the hope in terms of the underperforming, as well as the missing of children, as well as the kidnapping by General Musikidi. Over to you, colleagues.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, and Honorable Deputy Minister. With regard to the DPCI and those questions raised, the DPCI and its leader, national head, Lieutenant General Nabiya. We acknowledge that there is a decline in performance, and we are responding to that. We are currently conducting a situational performance assessment, and priority areas are being identified to turn this particular situation around. Now, there are two particular areas that has relevance to the questions that were raised regarding the performance and the capacity. Currently, we are looking and focusing on the correct placement of personnel based on required competencies. At the same time, we are also identifying systemic vulnerabilities due to corruption. So one needs to look at this holistically to deal with both your personnel and making sure that we build capacity, but also we look at personnel that has the requisite competencies. And if not, one then has to, they then have to do the necessary training, or other decisions will have to be taken. With regard to the vulnerabilities, concrete action is being taken, as also evidenced by the suspension of one of our senior managers relating to state capture. So we do acknowledge it, and we are putting measures in place, but it needs to be informed, and therefore we are in the process of looking at our performance and in the form of a situational assessment that is being currently conducted. Thank you.
Maybe just a quick follow-up on that one. That's with regard to the issue of the commercial crime division and the Steinhoff matter. I mean, we'll have discussions with the DCI, but I mean, is there efforts to strengthen that environment? Of course, there is that task. Remember, when the DCI was before the committee on the 15th of August, there's a whole team from the Reserve Bank and all the relevant institutions that assisted. But the team of the DPCI that is currently driving this, what can you maybe assure the committee that will be done to allay the fears of other committees in terms of that investigation?
The chairperson, I cannot speak authoritatively on this particular matter, but what I can assure, you know, the committee, the portfolio committee, is that we are looking at strengthening that particular unit and capability in terms of both competencies and capacity. So we are looking at certain, you know, people being drawn into that task team to assist. That has the requisite, you know, competencies. But I think also what is also critical here is the, you know, the will to be able to deal with these particular matters in the real and decisive manner. So management, are supporting the national heads to ensure that these vulnerabilities are being looked at, you know. So it's not only the people, but what is within the system that allow these things to happen and to occur, you know. So one needs to start looking at it in a very concrete and holistic way. I don't know if I'm answering the question. General Gwenya, or
indicate General Guma? Yes, General Gwenya would like to add, because they're working closely in supporting the, in as far as capacity is concerned. General Gwenya.
Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. The National Head of the DPCI and myself has been assigned. We are working on a personal plan. We have been given the deadline September. Other than that, we have already identified posts which were vacant. We advertised those posts. They ran externally. But also, we identified those members that do not have the relevant skills. We started at the highest level. We have already identified them. We have the list. We are in a process. We will be beginning the consultation process, also requesting the provincial commissioners to assist with the placement, because, like we are saying, some of them do not have the relevant skills, and then we have an obligation as the organization to ensure that we assist in terms of placing them where they've got the relevant skills. We are very much committed to ensure that we are able to assist, because the national health says are for these big cases, but I don't know who to allocate to. I don't have that capacity. We by the end of September, we should be in a better position to present concrete feedback. Thank you.
Thank you for that assurance. General Luma, the other responses, thank you.
Thank you very much. General Mutikidis, can you take on that?
Good day, Chairperson and honorable members. Mine is on the training of investigators in regards to responding to missing children or missing persons, and on kidnapping cases, as it was requested by honorable member Imam Shaikh. We include the training on resolve of crime, DLP, DCLP, and on the FCS learning program. We do include the module that speaks to missing persons. And over and above that, in the national instruction was developed and circulated with National Instruction 4 of 2018 that is assisting members in dealing with the missing persons and missing children, with the specific directive on who must respond to what, including that FCS will handle all cases of persons under the age of 18. And subsequent to that, we also issued the national instruction, the standing operation procedure on responding to missing persons, and we do monitor the reports of missing persons on a weekly and monthly basis, just to check how many of those were traced back and cancelled that were not missing per se, but just a child delinquency, and they will be reunited back to their families, and investigate those cases where we do have issues. We also have a share call within our crime stop that reports are communicated, and we have capacity currently at 4 provinces at the level of warrant officers and captains that are assisting us in facilitating and establishing the operational center VOC at the time that the missing child is reported. In regards to kidnapping, we do have the capacity within the provincial investigation team, and head office is monitoring the progress of investigation in that regard. They do have monthly meetings, and we're monitoring all cases that are coming on the kidnapping. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much,
Honorable Chair. With regards to public work, we have already answered that one. The issue with regards to Palam Commission recommendations has been sufficiently responded to, except for the payment of money to the widows. General Khan will quickly respond to that. And then the vehicle issue is attended to, and also the issue why are we not spending in different programs. It has been responded to. The Buyam Teto reverse General Mukwanazi will respond in that order, colleagues.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Honorable Chair. Thank you, Honorable Member. The Chair has been in a position to report favorably
on the issue of the payment of Marikana, the families, in terms of the loss of support, with the SAP has settled and paid an amount of 69 million to the families of the 37 deceased members, so as far as that is concerned, the loss of support has been settled. In total, Chair, it's an amount of 74 million that has been paid. If you recall, at our previous submissions to the committee, we indicated as far back as I want to say July, where one of the deceased minors' families were paid earlier on. So it brings total the amount of 74 million. Honourable Chair, in respect of general damages, that was for support, and in respect of general damages, offers have been made ranging from 500,000 to 1 million to the families of the deceased members. We are waiting for the attorneys to come back to us as a matter of agreeing to the payment, and that will be done. So that's as far as the payment is concerned, Honourable Chair.
The case is still subject to litigation of those groups?
Yes, Chair, not in terms of the families of the deceased members, but those that are claiming for unlawful arrest and detention. But there is negotiations underway as far as that is concerned. The national, the minister has actually approved that we negotiate with them and make settlements. Of course, I cannot get into greater detail as far as that is concerned.
Maybe can we just get a ballpark figure? What is the contingent liability SAPs of budgeting for, I mean, it's 74 and what else? What are we looking at in terms of the baseline?
Chair, if you can bear with me, I do have the figures. I think we're running into... Maybe General Nelson can help me, but I know it's over a billion. 1 billion, it's over a billion.
Of course, that is the contingent liability, but I mean, if I listen to what you've said, indicated to the committee now, 74 million, it will be quite less than that. So I mean, yeah,
it definitely yeah. Changed. It will definitely. That's the contingent that I'm talking about. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Gentlemen, can I please respond in as far as the results on WM Petrol operation?
Thank you, Honorable Chief, Honorable Member. I may not have the results or in position, but as it is held in Gauteng province, maybe I can indicate that I was part of the development of the plan or the compilation of the plan, the starting of the operation and everything. I'm part of that, and we are giving members, they are attending to the operation every time in the places where they are taking place. Discussions with the deputy provincial commissioner, that is the acting General Sichole. The information I'm getting is clear that there is a lot of success as far as the operation is concerned. It's going very well. I may not have the breakdown at this stage.
Thank you.
Follow up on that one?
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I'm not sure if it's a follow up.
Tell us the story around the PC of Gauteng. At some stage we were told she's going and she's back in the office. What's happening there?
Yes, General Buma.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The Provincial Commissioner of Gauteng is still the Provincial Commissioner of Gauteng. She is not going to go anywhere. Thank you, Honorable Chair. At some stage, there were consultations between the Provincial Commissioner and the Accounting Officer. One may not know what were the details of the consultation, but amongst other things, it was the issue of redeployment. There were three options. The first option was a redeployment for her to be the Divisional Commissioner of Human Resource Utilization. Given her experience before her appointment, she was the Deputy Provincial Commissioner of Human Resource Management. The second option was for her to be redeployed to be one of the regional commissioners and the third option was for her to be redeployed. Actually, I was told that she had said she would prefer to be redeployed to be one. There was, in terms of the rationalization, there was one of the proposals that Gauteng will be divided into three, and she had opted that she would prefer to be redeployed to Ekurhuleni as one of the regional commissioners. And then at some stage, she after their engagement and having understood that she will be redeployed, she later said, no, instead of being redeployed, I opt for an exit. And then that exit was going to be in the form of a Section 35. At a later stage, she changed her mind, and then she decided to say, I think that was finalized between them and between herself and the accounting officer. Hence, General Bruma says she remains the provincial commissioner of the Gauteng province. Thanks, Chair.
Chairperson, if you were agreed with her to redeploy her to work, why she took me to court? And why was this redeployment for? You were taking her out and you were going to put someone else. Was she underperforming or what? Because what I know, that post of the provincial commissioner, the term is for 5 years. So I can't understand your agreement there, because her post is for five years. If she agreed that you are going to redeploy her, why she take you? She took you to court.
What
I saw was not what you are saying. Mm-hmm. I saw Sapu up in arms fighting for her. And it, logically, if there was an agreement, why must Sapu fight? Sapu fought, and then after the fight, then we were told she's back in the office. Can you clarify me there?
I think it's important in terms of process that we get assurance. I also saw the SMS and WhatsApp calling our members of Gauteng to meet the new provincial commissioner on the Monday. I won't mention his name, but I mean that is just the reality. So we can just get assurance that consultations in terms of the requirements of PCs and so on will be followed. Thank you, Charles.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. We were never taken to court as the employer. Like I indicated earlier, there were engagements between the provincial commissioner and the accounting officer. The two of them have got the contract. And it happened that during that time, the accounting officer had to leave the country. And I was left to work with the provincial commissioner. And the provincial commissioner herself, even before I can say I've been assigned to work with you further, she had indicated how excited she was and she was leaving, to an extent that the provincial commissioner and myself never had any engagement to say apparently the national commissioner has already consulted. This is what you agreed upon, because he had herself, she had said, I am very much excited. I'm leaving the organization, and she even indicated that there were members who were not comfortable that she is leaving, and those members were, there was going to be instability, and she requested me to come to the provincial office so that we can address. And the provincial commissioner and myself went to speak to the members. In terms of the process of appointing another provincial commissioner, that process had not yet finalized. There was no signed letter that says either Bonang Gwenya, you are being appointed as the provincial commissioner, and one will know those things because I'm a custodian of the HR processes. Thanks.
Thank you.
the reception function was arranged.
I'm not aware.
Honorable Bula.
Chairperson, you are not blessed. This thing that we are dealing up is not the same as the thing that we hear tomorrow. I think the National Commission must come to us and tell the committee what is happening. Because you can't do things verbally and you agree verbally.
Mm.
And at the end of the day, you change everything. You go back. Like the other one that was appointed, I don't know where did they appoint the other one. Because he was sending messages and saying, can you please meet with me at this day, at this time? You see? No, you can't tell us different stories. That is what I was saying earlier. That you stop the infighting. Because if you don't like me, you are going to run after me. Please, let's not do this. Because all these things that you are doing, it ends up in the media. And what about us, the portfolio committee, who is doing an oversight to you? We know nothing. We heard on the news, she went to court. She wins the case. She's back. The other one who was acting, where is he? Because I don't know if you appointed her, it was verbally or it was... I don't know. What is happening in that? What is happening? Please, sir, rectify your mistake. Because all the things that you are doing, running after each other, it ends up in the media. And we are caught in between. We have constituencies, offices where we are reporting. They keep on asking us, what is happening? What is happening? But when you come to us, you don't give us the real answer. Who appointed Petros? Or was it Petros or who? Because how can Petros write letters and say he wants to meet with the leadership of SARS in Gauteng? Who appointed him? You see the things that you are doing, and you General Nkwenyi, you are at the HR. But you said you know nothing. They were talking after the accounting office went to overseas. You were left with this, and you don't have agreements written down. You don't have. It's just that everything ends up in media. No, Chairperson.
We will give General an opportunity to respond.
You're welcome. Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Like I said, there was never an appointment of another provincial commissioner as yet. We never had a situation where another provincial commissioner was appointed. It would have been an irregularity to appoint another provincial commissioner. But whatever that I'm presenting before the Portfolio Committee, Honorable Chair, is factual. But we have letters with the emblem of SARS that comes to Petros that saying he wants to meet the leadership of how it happened, how we went to the offices and write those letters. What did you do about this? Because you didn't appoint him. It has a letterhead. We have those letters. Don't you think that all the things that you are doing in head office, we don't know about it? They are sending us. There are people who are concerned about this SARS. We have letters with an emblem of SARS. What did you do? Did you charge Petros? When did he get the letterhead of SARS? If he was not appointed or he was promised or what? No, Chairperson.
Thank you. We want to close this one. Final response on that one. Thank you, General.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I have not personally seen a letter that was written by the former member. I've never seen it personally, but also I would not have had the jurisdiction because he is not a member of the SAPS. I don't know if there was a letter that was written under the letterhead of the SAPS. Maybe that could be investigated, but we are we have never seen the letter written by him addressed to members. We will ask the provincial commissioner of housing to check for us if there is such a kind of letter, and then we will seek for legal advice so that if there is something that can be done, then we can look into that. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Jill Duma, the other responses.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I think we will also engage the National Commissioner because he is one who has engaged the PC maybe to provide a better explanation to the Honorable Member. The next one is the Buyam Title Reserve, which General Mukwana has
responded.
The next one, Honourable Members, is with regard to the late delivery of vessels, which to partly General Nelson has explained the process. And also there was a question by Honourable Mbele with regard to the whether we have a policy as far as the purchasing of the vessels are concerned, because in some of the stations or clusters, the terrain is a gravel, and they feel that maybe we are detecting to them as the National Office. General Mukwena will respond to that, as well as the issue with regards to the same issue. There was a very, from different members, a very strong feeling with regards to the late payment of the vessels. There was also a question from Honorable Mbele with regards to the fact that is it possible, or is it with regards to facilities, is it possible for us to come up with the bundle or in terms of the particular service provider that can assist us in alleviating the constraints that we are receiving from public works in terms of moving forward in fast tracking the procurement of facilities? General Mbwena, please.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Let's start with the Honorable Mbele spoke of, if I'm not mistaken, fiscal dumping towards the last term when cultural vehicles. The main cause here is as a result when the National Treasury has awarded RT57, which is a transversal contract. Last year it was awarded very late. Hence we had to procure some of the vehicles in the last term. And then coming to the vehicles vis-a-vis the terrain, the department obviously wishes to buy vehicles that will suit the terrain. But we have budget constraints. For example, if you can look into the price of these 4x4s or 4x2s compared to the sedans that we procure, and we were left with only an absolute minimum of vehicles to service our people. That is one of the factors that leads to insufficient or not having proper vehicles to police in some of the deep rural areas or in some of the rural areas. Secondly, a gravel or a terrain which is gravel, which is not tarred, even if you buy a very strong 4x4, 12 months, it's gone. Researchers will tell you from Toyota, from Nissan, if every day a vehicle travels on a gravel road and which is bumpy, 12 months that vehicle is no longer serviceable. Now these are some of the things that actually affect not only vehicle availability but policing in general.
Just on that issue, the issue of specifications, the committee has commented on that for the last 3.5 years. And part of the dilemma is the face of crime in the country is changing, but it seems some people in this room don't recognize it. And that's part of the dilemma. You buy vehicles that is not fit for purpose. And I mean, unless the police management take that matter seriously, where your training going now to TRT level, your vehicles, all these settings is not suitable. for your core visible and other functions. That's just the reality. And if we look at the attacks on members' ability to compete, high risk incidents, there's not a plan. I mean, it's quite clear. And I mean, we had a recommendation of that issue last year, previously. And what you're telling us, General, doesn't add up. But the portfolio committee said that there must be a relook at the environment. The environment is changing. The same question with police stations, safety. That's why there's no urgency. Because if the top management doesn't realize there's a change, a sea change in the crime environment and the ability to respond, we're not going to have the solution. So the vehicle issue is to be on the same track.
Noted, Honorable Chair, and we will try maybe to ask Treasury to give more money to buy proper vehicles. On a serious note, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, our major, major frustration is the availability of money. If we were to buy, for example, 5,000 appropriate vehicles, it will need three times what is allocated for vehicles, but we know that, Honorable Chair, and we'll, the top management of the subs will do something about it, to take it to the Treasury to say, please, we are faced with these challenges, and we need to do something about it.
And I think we must add that to the October list that was suggested by the Deputy Minister. Because the safety of our members, I mean, if you go to any jurisdictional environment, it's three members in front, in an old bucket.
Yes.
Now, if you want to be competitive in any crime-fighting situation, you're going to come second. I mean, your analyst will tell you that. That is what ISS is saying. And the literature. But, I mean, we're not responding, and that's the dilemma. So we need to really up that game considerably.
Noted, Honorable Chair. Thank you very much for that. And then the other question was the issue of the Department of Public Works. I should say the National Commission mandated actually Deputy National Commissioner to engage from time to time and to seek authority from insofar as the devolution of this budget or devolution of infrastructure is concerned, so that we can do it ourselves. The challenge is that I think there is some reluctance from the Department of Public Works to give this, because in some of their correspondence they did say this is their sole mandate. And, you know, hence the General Homer said previously we even engaged our former minister, the current minister, we're involving, even next week we're having another meeting with the Department of Public Works. And then maybe also to prove that this is a thorn in our flesh, our forensic science laboratories, they are not a DNA compliant. Our garages, which are affecting vehicle availability. And maybe let me give this example. Some of the infrastructure we had was built when I was 1 year old, when the total vehicle fleet for the police, South African police then, I think before even the establishment of the TVVC countries, was maybe 500. Today we're sitting with 55 plus or minus 55,000 vehicle fleet with the same infrastructure. Even if you get additional artillery, where are you going to place them? This is the reality that the country is facing. And we really want to do something, and we just, because of this dependency, we can't move. Not mentioning also the budgetary constraints. Another, we recently had to cut some of the funds, I don't know if I'm allowed to say, to cut some of the money from the infrastructure to give it to compensation. Now, this is some of the challenges the department is faced with. I don't know if I've answered that. Thanks, Honorable Chair.
Thank you. Let's go to the other responses, gentlemen.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. If I may also add another question which was asked earlier on with regard to why are we accepting the leases that are so dilapidated by public works in terms of the office accommodation for our members. Previously, public works had an authority which was granted by a national treasurer that they can be able to sign contract or leases on our behalf without consulting the client. We have since intervened in that regard as such because we have realized that it is problematic for us. Hence this engagement we have been having with public works. We even up now have a number of leases that are on a month-to-month basis based on the fact that we said, no, there is no way you can do this without us. So we are sent our members to all those buildings to go and check and evaluate and see whether we can be able to give them a go-ahead in terms of them concluding those leases. So it's an ongoing process. I think they are waiting for the response from us in terms of that. But those that were previously sent, it becomes a contractual obligation because it's not within our power and authority to say we are cancelling the contract. Those were the challenges that we experienced, but we have since intervened and we told, we also wrote to the National Treasurer that we cannot allow that situation because they put us in a very serious predicament. The last question, Honorable Chairperson, is the issue, question with regard to the DNA, availability of the DNA. General Makadela will respond to that as well as what is it that we have done in terms of the challenges that we had previously. General Makadela, please.
Thank you, Chairperson, and Honorable Members. Sorry. General Boma, Sangwanya, and senior management. In respect of the DLA, I think I gave a response here in Parliament. That is the situation. It was during the time the presentation was done by the DLA board, where they raised the issue that there were some challenges at the station that they visited, that there are no kids. I want to reiterate that we had a challenge in respect of the DLA kit, in respect of the contract which was in place and which was in questionable in terms of the payment. But what we did to actually supplement or substitute the shortages at the stations was to check, to make a total audit of all the kits that we have in our reserves, inclusive of those the honorable member Colonel Barnett was talking about, those we kept as for part of training with forensic. We rigorously protect all those crime kits for the utilization, while the process of coating, as well as the bid which was submitted to supply chain, is a needed process. And here, I still maintain that by the end of September, the question of quotations will be running up and running. And I said also the communication I made to the provincial commissioner that if at any stage there is a shortage that we are not aware of, that is forensic as well as supply chain, that each and every provincial commissioner should indicate so that you can reshift those kits to the relevant area. Thank you, sir.
I also asked, you know, the issue of not taking the DNA samples from the convicted criminals who are being released from correctional services. Is that happening? Is it not happening? It's supposed to be happening, but I'm hearing it's not happening at all.
Thank you, Mr. President. It is not happening because the Act, the DNA Act, says. I'm not sure whether my phone continued responding. I was still explaining. It is not happening because the DNA Act is saying, is categorically clear that if a person has been released from prison, you cannot go back and trace that person and obtain. It is illegal. But for those, the process, you must understand that the Act was in 2015, and then there was a big backlog where we had actually subs to make sure that who deal with the prisoners who are already in custody, as well as those new people who are arrested in terms of Schedule 8. And those, according to the Act, who were already released, cannot be traced back and retrace the DNA.
Yeah, I have no stage said that the SATs should go out and try and find people who've been released 15 years ago or at any stage. I said people are today being released without having their DNA taken before they are released. That is what I'm hearing. That's what I'm trying to clarify. Because otherwise we just wasted our years of our lives getting this legislation through.
I think it could not be watertight, but the programs that we have in such, we have conducted a special training to all the provinces so that we make sure that we attend to those people who are in prison. And unless now it's a question of a concern or a complaint that I can have a specific reference to say, at this police station or at this prison, these people were not actually taken. Because this is a program which is running in place as we speak.
The last question, Honorable Chapter 7, regards to the under expenditure on CJA, as has been answered. Let's mark the last question in as far as our response is concerned. Back to you, Honorable Chapter 7.
Members, any other issues or follow-ups? Right, thank you, members. There's, of course, still the contract management strategy presentation, but I think the Deputy Minister also indicated there's additional items, like, for instance, that we've raised now, the issue of security at police stations, so that must be included in the contract management. So we'll deal with when we come back in term four. So we will just ask SAPS management to update that presentation. We want to thank the information that was provided to us. But I think it's quite important, again, if police management present to Parliament, must be up-to-date quality information. We had quality inputs from General Jacobs, from General Makwanas and others. But on the other hand, we can't have a lack of information, a lack of, people must be knowledgeable what happened in the previous committee, what is the status, what is the current going ahead for plan. That's what we need. We need a professional response. Because if we're going to get all over incomplete responses, it's not going to work. And I think it doesn't bode well for the SAPS management in general. So we need to improve the game. And again, look at your composition when you come here and who is responsible for what. But of course, that's a management issue and we'll leave it to you. We've taken note of the progress in the various programs, and of course we will again look at the second quarter when we come back in the next term. I want to thank members for the input. So we will of course meet tomorrow at 9 on the SAPS quarterly, and also the meeting with the DPCI judge. So same venue, unfortunately. So thank you very much. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Must we be here?